Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Chris Maloney back with you for another edition of CWN Weekly, episode number 35, coming to you live on Saturday, April the 17th, 2021, here from London, Ontario, Canada. it sucks to be in the province of Ontario right now. If you're not sure what that means, look up the Toronto Star with regards to Google, for example, and just look at their front page today. That pretty much says it all right now. I am not a happy camper. I know my wife is not a happy camper. Most of the province is not happy right now. And I tell you this, I can't wait till that guy is out and, on his way to jail, hopefully someday soon. But he's destroying the lives of people here in Ontario. And I wasn't happy watching what I did yesterday. And like I said, look up the Toronto Star, the front page today, to see a lot of Ontario viewpoints today. But that being said, it's all I'm going to do is talk about politics. It is a wrestling show, but to say there's not politics in wrestling is another thing there. But if you're watching for the first time, listening for the very first time, thank you very much. We're kind of all over the place as far as social media, as well as YouTube, Facebook, and all the audio stuff as well. Anniversaries, birthdays, as I always do. You might notice there's a little bit of a theme going on behind me, as well as the opening logo there. So I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to say happy belated birthday on the 15th to the bubblegum princess, Alexia Nicole, turned 25 years old. It's makes me feel old. I had the honor of interviewing her a couple of years ago. She's a very sweet girl, as well as the one and only Stephen O'Neill has had the honor of interviewing her for Slugging with Stephen O'Neill, which takes place every Tuesday, 6 p.m. on cwnonline.ca. Like I said, birthday was on the 15th, and according to one of the wrestling websites, 1996 is her birth year. So 25 years old, like I said, makes me feel old. I'm going to say the 20th, because I'll get to this last. 20th is Kyle the Monster Nelson. If you're not a fan of mixed martial arts or MMA, he was born in 1991. He's 30 years old. He's from Huntsville, Ontario, and is part of the UFC featherweight division there. So happy birthday on the 20th to Kyle the Monster Nelson, 30 years old. Again, makes me feel old. And finally, on the 17th, which is today, which might have something to do with the fact that I bumped the show to today. That was just a highlight, but March break and toddlers and spending time with the wife, everything else just made more sense to go today. But 17th today, the official birthday of the one and only Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper, born 1954. He ended up passing away July 31st, 2015, at the age of 61 years old. I only got to see him once live, and that was at the London Gardens at a WWF house show. The date was March 22nd, 1992, but it's one of the most enjoyable matches I will ever see in my entire life, simply because of the fact it was Rowdy Roddy Piper as Intercontinental Champion taking on Nature Boy Ric Flair as the WWF Champion inside of a steel cage. So it was, you think about how long Flair held that title all the way through to WrestleMania, how long Piper held that title all the way through to WrestleMania, and I get to see them compete champion versus champion inside of a steel cage here in London. So again, March 22nd, 1992, London Gardens, Piper versus Flair. Absolutely loved it. But huge fan of Rowdy Roddy Piper. He's one of the guys I want to collect as much memorabilia, as I can with regards to. Obviously, you can see story behind that shirt behind me is I was in, what do they call it, Hot Topic, I think it was. And we're going to shows in Toronto, and I wanted to pick up some t-shirts, and they had like a 2 for $40 or deal or something like that, or like buy one, get the second one half price. So I was like all for it. So I picked up that shirt thinking it said Hot Rod, all excited to have an official Rowdy Roddy Piper shirt. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I go and look and it says Hot Rhonda. So I don't think I've ever worn it, but I've kept it as a collector's item. But without him, that shirt wouldn't exist. And obviously the tribute that Rowdy Ronda Rousey pays towards Piper with regards to her career in wrestling. You can see the Rowdy Roddy Piper book, which shows on the other side there. It was given to me by a coworker, Ed Pylon. So thanks a lot, Ed, for that. And then you can see the Canadian flag, which my toddler thought it was excited today. So I ended up finding her another one. So she was around the apartment earlier on waving the flag. And then that magazine there, Pro Wrestling Illustrated back from the 80s, which I picked up at a local bookstore here in London, Ontario a couple of years ago. And it's near mint condition, which is kind of cool. But you can see that was the early career of Rowdy Roddy Piper, even before I think he, WrestleMania 1. I forget the actual date on that there. And then you got the Legends of WrestleMania behind me for the Xbox 360. And then you got the maple syrup, as always, on this show. So I'm happy to be Canadian, not necessarily proud to be here in Ontario right now, but happy to be Canadian and happy that Rowdy Roddy Piper, Mr. Saskatchewan, is from Canada as well. And the fact is, I love listening to his stuff. I love watching his matches. I was a huge fan of him back in the day. And, I still miss him today. So 1992, I got to see him against Ric Flair, like I said, but he ended up passing away back in 2015 at the age of 61 years old. So thoughts and prayers, RIP Hot Rod. One of my, I guess my goals would be to get to interview Ariel, his daughter, Tombs. I think that's on my bucket list there. And I'll start to do interviews again. I've got one in the books with regards to George Mackay, Street Talk Wrestling, obviously. But I've got another one lined up for not this coming Monday, but next Monday. And then, I'm starting to look into who I want to interview, which is kind of cool that way as well. So from there, we go into major news of the week. And there's three topics before I get into the regular news. This was interesting because I didn't even know it was on the table. But TrilloNet acquires premier live event and pay-per-view SVOD, AVOD, blah, 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 platform Fight, taking major next step in building global content ecosystem. So TrilloNet apparently has an app, and it's, I think, short films or something like that, but it's with regards to fighting and all this sort of stuff. Everybody knows what Fight is, but when it comes down to Fight, fact is, when it comes down to it, Fight is huge up here in Canada. That's how everybody watches NWA. That's how people end up watching All Elite Wrestling. That's also how people watch some of the Impact pay-per-views, as well as ROH. I mean, Fight's been huge for a couple of years now. Seeing that Rebellion's coming up next weekend, I'll be watching on Fight, so it's interesting the fact that Fight has been taken over. Whether or not there's any changes or whether or not it just grows, hopefully it's not a Peacock deal like the States, because that would suck. But like I said, TrilloNet has acquired Fight, and it'll be interesting to see how they move going forward. And like I said, Rebellion is the very next pay-per-view for them. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited because it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of a wait and see. But hopefully, like I said, it's not like a WWE Network Peacock type deal, because that would suck. Next big topic of the week, Invicta Women's MMA promotion sold, finds new television spot. So this was all over the place. But the article I took was with regards to ESPN and Ariel Helwani, another fellow Canadian there. So Invicta Fighting Championships has a new owner and a new television home. Premier all-women's MMA promotion has been acquired by Anthem Sports and Entertainment. People might know what that means. A Los Angeles and Toronto-based media company, Anthem and Invicta officials told ESPN terms of the deal were not disclosed. As a result, Invicta will now air on Anthem-owned Access TV cable network in the United States. First event of Invicta's new era, Invicta 44, will take place May 21st, officials said. Invicta Atomweight champion Alicia Zapatella will defend her title against Jessica Delboni on the card, among other fights not yet finalized. So if anybody's not sure what Anthem Sports and Entertainment means, tune in to every Thursday night at 8 o'clock on this channel called the Fight Network. They're huge. They also own Access TV, and the Forbidden Door has been kicked open. So not necessarily Invicta's going to invade any of the wrestling promotions there, but it's a huge step. They were on UFC Fight Pass previously, and news broke, like I said, that they've been picked up now by Access Anthem. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out on Fight Network here in Canada. Obviously with UFC, they've got most of their shows on TSN, as well as UFC Fight Pass and the UFC app. But with regards to Invicta, it'd be cool to see some of their stuff on Fight Network here in Canada. It's all women's promotion as far as mixed martial arts go. But again, it's a building building process for mixed martial arts, Invicta, and to see where they go from there. So like I said, two big pieces of news for the week. The third relates to wrestling. And entertained isn't even the word. It's weird because of the fact April 15th of last year, stuff happened. April 15th of this year, stuff happened. And I'm like, why April 15th? And there's, you know, reasons for it, obviously. But what I'm talking about is this, guy: Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Mickey James, and other superstars released. WWE has come to terms on the release of Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mickey James, Chelsea Green, Tucker Kalisto, Mojo Rawley, Bo Dallas, and Wesley Blake. As of today, April 15th, 2021, we wish them the best in all of their future endeavors, as WWE always puts it there. But that was, it was shocking for some of them, not so shocking for other ones, but the names mentioned, Samoa Joe, I mean, Impact Wrestling, ROH, AEW could get a hold of this guy if he's healthy. That would be cool. The Iconics, I mean, the world is front of them. Mickey James, obviously, you know, she's a veteran, but she can still lend her ear to some of the girls. Obviously, you look at somebody like Serena Deeb, how well she's doing with AEW and the NWA. Mickey James can go that route as well, especially who she's married to, with the one and only Nick Aldis. Tucker, hit and miss. Kalisto, hit and miss. Mojo Rawley, you know, he's really kind of hasn't been relevant in quite a while there. Wesley Blake, same sort of thing. But the two mentions of two of the names, besides obviously Samoa Joe and the Iconics, have been Bo Dallas, who people are kind of astonished that WWE didn't do anything with him with regards to the Wyatt family, the Fiend character, their real life brothers, and they never capitalized on it. And then as a Canadian, obviously a little bit PO'd with regards to Chelsea Green. To me, the world is, again, just like the Iconics in front of her. She's got major potential, major talent. If you watched anything back when she was part of Impact Wrestling, she was amazing with the gimmick. Her wrestling skills, you know, have only gotten better. Obviously, you remember her from AEW, the women's match there, where she fought Britt, as well as I think it was Ali and Tessa, I think even. I forget the actual foursome there, but that was huge as well. And then she all of a sudden she ends up NXT SmackDown, gets injured, and now she's released. Be interesting to see if she ends up in Impact Wrestling with her future husband there, with her one and only Matt Cardona. So it'd be interesting there to see if they hook up in Impact. But, you know, she could go AEW as well, but she's tight with Deonna Purrazzo on the other side of the ring. She's also tight with Britt Baker, but with the forbidden door being kicked open right now, she signs with Impact or AEW, it's going to go back and forth. I mean, obviously, with the Rebellion coming up, and we have the current Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champions being New Japan guys, it's going to be interesting there. From there, we go into News of the Week. Hardcore Justice on Impact Plus results. Guys, I didn't have a chance to watch Hardcore Justice. I was way too busy with WrestleMania, as well as the website, as well as March break, everything else. So I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, which is why there's no recap show. There is a prediction show, but there's no recap show. Highlights of it that I've seen was basically faces getting the main event win there. So Rich Swann ends up pinning Carl Anderson in the main event. Obviously, Jazz loses the title versus retirement match. Tennille Dashwood ends up moving on with regards to challenging Deonna Purrazzo this coming Sunday. Not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday with regards to the championship there. And I think with regards to my predictions on the X Division match, I think I was a little bit right, but I couldn't have predicted this one. So TJP and Falabai predicted, Ace Austin, Madman Fulton, I predicted, but Josh Alexander and Petey Williams, that interests me there. So I'm going to go back and watch that match at least. But guys, yeah, I haven't seen the pay-per-view yet, which is why I haven't done a recap show. But that's why I want to talk about it here, just in case I don't get around to doing a proper recap show for them there. But check it out. It was on iPay-Per-View with regards to Impact Plus as well as Fight. But yeah, guys, go and check that out. But it's interesting to see where they're going to lead into with regards to with Rebellion, because the card is stacked at this point, and they've got one more show to complete, and it's Impact Week next week. So I'll see if I can bring up the article. I want to talk about that as well. I think it's I put it in a different folder, but I'll see if I can find it. Tennille Dashwood earns knockout title shot at Rebellion. I just talked about that. WWE 2K22 officially announced. YouTube, there's a promo for it. Rey Mysterio taking on Cesaro. So guys, check that out. It got me hyped. I'm missing the 2K series. Obviously, 2K Battlegrounds was a different story. it's still fun. It's entertaining. You get a lot of old school characters, but I miss, you know, basically having a wrestling game that's the same way as sports like NHL or NFL Madden, whatever the case may be. But that is out. You can check it out on YouTube there. WrestleMania 37 Night 1 results or Night 2 results. You can check out my thoughts. CWN Recap, I did recap shows for both of those. But the highlights, obviously, Bianca Belair, Roman Reigns winning in the main event, Natalya and Tamina challenge for the championships, and then all of a sudden, they're setting up for it again, which makes absolutely no sense, but it is WWE booking, so they have them lose. So I'm talking Natalya and Tamina on WrestleMania night two, you know, lose the rights to become champs, and all of a sudden, Natalya beats Shayna just cleanly on SmackDown last night. So it's WWE booking for you. It makes absolutely no sense at all. Top 10 WWE WrestleMania events of all time. Number one, I released last Sunday on cwnonline.ca. For those who missed it, it was WrestleMania 18. I was there live. One of the greatest moments of seeing it was basically Hulk Hogan and The Rock, obviously, which was my match of the night. But the fact is, when I was there, I sat in my seat, realized I was at WrestleMania, I shed a tear, no word of a lie. And then basically when the stadium was full, SkyDome, which is now Rogers Center, and I looked around and just saw all the people and this tiny little ring in the middle of it, I was just like, holy crap, this is absolutely amazing. So WrestleMania 18 was my number one WrestleMania of all time. Talked about Roman Reigns beating Edge as well as Daniel Bryan in the main event. Sold out crowd attends WrestleMania for the second straight night. So 25,675 fans made it to WrestleMania. So, you know, props to them for about 52,000 people between 2 days. It was interesting to see Green Guy front row center. And I mentioned him, but you see him every single pay-per-view, you know. And then next thing you know, WrestleMania Night 2, he was off to the side. I was like, wait a second, that's not his spot. But anyways, it is what it is. Adnan Virk, don't know if I'm pronouncing his first name right, joins WB as the new voice in Monday Night Raw. That was announced last Monday. I tell you this, I'm a skeptic when it comes to the voices that you hear on TV or pay-per-views when it comes to calling action for wrestling. The reason for it is this. I am 44 years old. I grew up in the era of Gorilla Monsoon. I grew up in the era of Jesse the Body Ventura and Lord Alfred Hayes and Vince McMahon and even Rowdy Roddy Piper on commentary at one point. But who am I missing? Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mike Tenay, Taz, Tony Schiavone way back in the WCW days. So when you get these cookie cutter announcers that come on to these shows, I'm like, okay, you know, who's this guy? And all of a sudden you read up on Adnan Virk and you read up the ESPN story and everything that went down, everything else. And, you know, he looks like a nice guy. He's graduated from Ryerson, so no big deal. But within 15 to 20 minutes of watching Raw this past Monday, I was like, this guy I cannot listen to. He's boring. Fact is, when it comes down to it, though, maybe he takes a little while to basically find his niche, so to speak. He also works with MLB Network, which, I mean, is huge. But to me, it's you had him with Corey Graves and Byron Saxton, and he got basically shadowed out. And when I say shadowed out, basically, it's he became irrelevant during the three-hour show to the point you heard Corey Graves talk more about it, and you heard basically Byron Saxton talk more about Raw than you did with regards to Virk. So I'm not a big fan of his yet. You know, I even posted on my personal Twitter. But fact is, when it comes down to it, if you're going to be a lead announcer for a three-hour show, entertain us. The rating for Raw, which was actually my next topic on my news here, was great. I mean, obviously, they topped 2 million viewers. And I was like, holy crap, night after WrestleMania, obviously. You see the trend. It goes down the third hour, which makes me I've always thought this. I always thought, forget about that third hour, but they have a contract with the USA Network for 3 hours of wrestling on a Monday night, and that's all that comes down to it. So, but when they decide to, you know, do this contract again, have a 2 hours on a Monday night. I mean, God knows it works for AEW with regards to 2 hours and NXT for 2 hours and Impact Wrestling for 2 hours. Why do we're still putting up a 3 hour Raw when they're not going up against WCW Nitro anymore? So I'll leave it at that. I'll give this guy another chance this coming Monday, being a fellow Canadian, obviously. But the fact is, he did not entertain me there. NXT, this past, I almost said Wednesday, this past Tuesday. It's going to take me a couple weeks, I'm going to say, to get used to the new schedule as far as wrestling goes. So, but in saying that, you know, it's going to work out better. Wrestling's on every night of the week, but there's no competition anymore. It was kind of weird watching AEW without NXT and NXT without AEW. But NXT highlights, obviously, Frankie Monet made her debut. And then that got overshadowed by Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair returning to NXT to celebrate with Gonzalez. And they showed that shot that's been posted on the internet there with regard to the three of them, just kind of backstage, just getting started with NXT. And now they're all champions. And it was a cool moment there. Sarray debuts on NXT next week. Really don't know much about this girl. But you think of Kairi Sane and Asuka, as well as Io Shirai, and you know, it's I'm interested to see who she is. A big fan of obviously Japanese wrestlers and New Japan, everything else, and I hate what they've done with Nakamura, but same thing for Kenta, who was Hideo Itami. Not a big fan of what they did with him, but the women seem to be working out with regards to WWE. So be interesting to see Saray, or Saray, however they pronounce her name, debut this coming Tuesday on NXT. WWE After the Bell moves to Fridays with a special WrestleMania episode. That was announced this past week, so they're official on Fridays now. If you're a podcaster or like listening to the podcast, hi. Edge limited edition collector's box available in WWE Shop. I think I have the article for this, just because I thought it was interesting to see. Get rid of some of these articles so it's a little more tidier here. And yeah, there we go. So, like I said, Edge limited edition collector's box available in WWE Shop. And it talks a little bit about the article, but WWE Shop is proud to celebrate the unparalleled career of Edge by offering this limited edition collector's box, absolutely filled to the brim with exclusive items, including an exclusive t-shirt, replica sunglasses, a knit beanie hat, a replica Edge Spinner Championship title center plate, 11x14 poster, a vinyl figure, and an enamel pin. And it comes in a really cool box as well. So I mean, you're Canadian, you got to love Edge and the comeback story and everything else. But guys, if you're interested in, you know, collecting just stuff just for the sake of it, or a huge fan of Edge, or just a huge fan of Canadians, you go and check that out. Article should be up on cwnonline.ca, but if it's not, it will be very, very soon. From there, Natalia's column this week, she released that this past Wednesday. WrestleMania Fallout was the title of it. So guys, check that out. NXT sets 2021 viewership record and finishes eighth on cable. I'll get to that when I talk about the ratings. WB's annual SEC filings propose new director's executive compensation detail. WW Corporate is the name of that there. But guys, I'm going to bring this up. Just because it's relevant. Well, I'm going to bring this up just because of what I thought was relevant. Yeah, I'm looking for the logo. It's way the heck down in my folder. I'm not organized this week. So, talks about directors and who they want to have as directors. And then it talks about for 2021, executive base salaries are. This surprised me. All figures are USD, by the way, so US dollars. Vince McMahon, $1.4 million. Nick Khan, who is the current company president and chief revenue officer, makes $1.2 million. And then Paul Levesque, otherwise known as Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Christina Salen, chief financial officer, all make $730,000 a year. In 2020, total compensation, including salary and incentives for the McMahons were as follows: Vince 3.99, Triple H 2.33, and Stephanie 2.1. So obviously huge differences between their base salaries to their compensation, including incentives. So it's basically related to like sports, for example. And hey, you're a hockey player, and you make a base salary, so to speak. And all of a sudden, if you score 50 goals, we're going to give you this. If you get 50 shutouts, we're going to give you this. You know, 50 shutouts. Can you imagine? But the fact is that's WWE as well. So if they hit certain metrics as far as maybe social media, or you know, a WWE network, or whatever the case may be, that's how they add that up. So it's you know, kind of boring stuff, but it is interesting to see the base salaries of the heads in charge as far as WWE. This was big news of the week, but it's hasn't been on very many websites as far as sources go. But the news is this: Ivelisse comments on being let go from AEW. Article from f4wonline.com. Ivelisse is no longer with AEW and has since deleted tweets. She wrote Wednesday that history repeats itself, unfortunately. Speak up about mistreatment and get let go. That's life. Though she did not specify where she'd be, where she'd been let go from, she had been working for AEW since last year. She most recently competed in the March 2nd edition of AEW Dark. Although she and Diamante had been teaming for most of the run, the two had been working as singles wrestlers as of late. And then she goes on to talk to Fightful Select with regards to issuing a statement. Issues with regards to Thunder Rosa was the main part of it, as well as her coaches. And it looks like she is gone from AEW. Nothing I've seen, though, with regards to AEW social media or the website there. Yuji Nagata responds to John Moxley. That was on the 15th, so 2 days ago. Haven't seen it yet, but obviously Moxley challenged him. IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship on the line. Looks like Yuji Nagata is going to accept there. AEW Games 2.0 show hosted by AEW World Champion Kenny Omega. Episode number 3 was released on the 15th as well. His guest was the Bunny. So guys, check that out. Haven't seen it yet, but it's on my weekend plans here. From there, AEW Unrestricted Chaos Project, that's on the 15th as well. So that came out two mornings ago, so to speak. They always release it like 2 a.m. in the morning, which is, I'm guessing it's scheduled, but whatever the case may be, that's tough. No way in the world I'm posting stuff at 2 in the morning. I mean, I'm not even going to premiere it, because the fact is it's going to get no views. But anyways, yeah, so like I said, AEW Unrestricted this week is Chaos Project there. Mike Bennett re-signs with ROH, as well as Maria Kanellis Bennett re-signed with ROH. So guys, that is official. They re-signed on the 15th when the news broke there. And it looks like my wife's shopping. I'm just seeing the list with regards to stuff being crossed off. Ted DiBiase going to WBPC to collaborate with Cameron Grimes. So apparently he's going down there to either help him out or feud with him with regards to his character. So that's going to be interesting there. The $1 million man taking on the new $1 million man. But promos, obviously, Ted DiBiase's up there in age. I can't see him realistically getting in the ring ever again as a competitor. But the fact is, it excites me to see Ted DiBiase being part of that storyline down there in NXT. AEW Dynamite tops 1.2 million viewers, finishes second on cable. I'll get to that when I talk about the ratings here. From there, WWE Legends Biography and WWE Most Wanted Treasures to debut on Sunday. I'll get to that momentarily as well, because I talk about the highlights coming up for the weekend. Nevaeh, and Impact Wrestling part ways. That was on the 15th, so that kind of surprised me. I know they had changed her character with regards to not being with Havoc anymore, but fact is, I didn't realize that she was on her way up. On Impact Wrestling's Before the Impact show that airs on their Access program, she was defeated by former tag team partner Havoc. Nevaeh then later took to social media and thanked Impact as she's on her way out of the company. Posted a graphic on Instagram, which read, "Every setback is a setup for your comeback." She goes, "Thank you, Impact Wrestling. This year was incredible for me." And then she debuted for Impact following Rebellion 2020. She went on to form a tag team with Havoc, obviously, and then competed in the Knockouts Tag Team Championship Tournament. And like I said, she lost to Havoc on BTI this past week. So it'll be interesting to see where she ends up. I got to see her once at a show here in London. They call it the Canusa Classic. And with regards to an all-women's tournament, you had Team USA on the one side and Team Canada on the other side, hence Canusa. But the fact is, yeah, Nevaeh was part of that, because I think Shotzi Blackheart was originally supposed to be part of that and wasn't able to make it because she was double booked. So I think we end up getting Nevaeh in her place. Huge potential, I think, as far as where she can go from here. Winnipeggers episode number 39, Show and Tell, was released this past Thursday. Chris Jericho, so if you're a fan of his, check that out. Sammy versus Trey, last man standing, and huge 8-man tag to take place at Rebellion. That was announced, one of the big announcements that took place this past Thursday as well. So, like I said, Sammy taking on, and I'm just going to find the article here. I'm getting better with Impact Wrestling. I know not to look for a logo when I'm looking for the article. But Sammy versus Trey, last man standing, and huge 8-man tag team match is featuring VBD, so Violent by Design. So Diener, Eric Young, Joe Doering, and Rhino taking on Eddie Edwards, Willie Mack, Chris Sabin, as well as Cowboy James Storm. I almost said Lance Storm. That is not happening, but Cowboy James Storm. The interesting part of this is I know Eric Young tore his ACL, supposed to be out for, I think, 6 to 9 months or 4 to 6 months, whatever the case may be. He did it at a TV taping. So I don't believe Rebellion has been pre-taped. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think it is, which makes me think they may play an angle this coming Thursday where with regards to Eric Young not being able to compete. But if he goes through Rebellion, it means Rebellion was pre-taped, which it's going to be interesting because, I mean, maybe they're doing a series. It's whatever the rules are down there in Tennessee. But I haven't heard anything about Rebellion being taped. Fact is, you know, it really doesn't matter either way. It's more exciting when it's live. But fact is, when it comes down to it, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Eric Young, whether or not if he makes Rebellion, unless he's working through a torn ACL. Anyways, I'm going on about it too much, but it's going to be interesting there. Obviously, Canadian aspect of it. So you're listening to a Canadian podcast, though, by the way. So I'll just leave it at that. So from there, we go into the other big news from Impact Wrestling released this past Thursday night. Mauro Ranallo to commentate on Rebellion pay-per-view Sunday, April 25th. There's still two little preview specials right now with regards to YouTube and Impact Rebellion. You can check those out. One's Mauro Ranallo's 5 Ways to Win for Rich Swann. Another one's Mauro Ranallo's 5 Ways to Win for Kenny Omega. But the news stories was this, April 15th, 2 days ago, and in news sure to stun and excite hardcore wrestling fans around the world, Impact Wrestling is proud to announce legendary play-by-play commentator Mauro Ranallo will be the part of his broadcast team for Rebellion pay-per-view next Sunday. Possessing an immediately recognizable voice and encyclopedia knowledge of combat sports, Ranallo is widely considered one of the best play-by-play announcers of all time, Canadian boy as well. But that's interesting. So he's going to be there to call the main event. So that is what he's going to be doing as far as Impact Wrestling goes. I will never be play-by-play. I jumble my words too much. It's I mean, it's great. I have this podcast, but nobody's ever going to pay me to do it. So I'll leave it at that. Lexi sits down with Dark Order's Stu Grayson and Evil Uno that took place yesterday on YouTube. So that happens. That's Lexi Nair's that takes place every Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning there on YouTube. So guys, check that out with the one and only SSB Super Smash Brothers. Pat McAfee joins Friday Night SmackDown announced team. This was a shocker. So beginning of the week when they announced Verk, teaming up with Corey Graves as well as Byron Saxton, it was interesting. I was like, okay, who are they going to put with Michael Cole? And they announced where Tom Phillips was going. So I was like, wait a second, that leaves it completely open. Never would have expected at all Pat McAfee to be the guy to replace Corey Graves as well as work with Michael Cole. But that's kind of why they've been silent, because all of a sudden he was doing well in the ring. But obviously he has his own podcast. The huge deal with regards to Pat McAfee with everything he's accomplished, you know, when you look at you know, his resume, so to speak, he's a talker. He has his own podcast, his own show with regards to SiriusXM. So it's just makes sense. He's got a wealth of knowledge when it comes to wrestling. He's a fan, a huge fan, and he's taken part in matches as well. So I didn't see all of SmackDown last night, but I saw most of it, and it wasn't too bad. You know, he did well. So it'd be interesting to see. I think I've got more hope for McAfee at this point than I do Verk, but it'll be interesting to see who works out better there. But that was released yesterday through WWE.com, but McAfee put it out first on Twitter. So changes in announcing for both SmackDown as well as Raw. Just looking at an article here. I actually can't find it, but it doesn't surprise me. But the article was this. McGregor versus Dustin Poirier sold out. And anyways, you can check that out, postwrestling.com. I didn't have the actual... It was what they call a Pollock's MMA update. So it's John Pollock doing a whole list of stuff. And I hadn't actually seen the article yet. I put it in the folder, but didn't realize there was so much to it. But it doesn't surprise me. Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor sold out in Vegas. That is July, by the way. And then right now, and I don't know if it's still streaming. If it is, amazing. But the Briscoes' greatest matches, all Briscoes' weekends taking place right now on YouTube. I know when I checked, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning and it had been going for about 2 hours. I checked at noon, but it'd been going for 2 hours. It looks like it's probably, started going at 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I'm not going to check now because I've gotten in crap from YouTube with regards to copyright strikes in the past. And one was enough. So I'm just going to leave it at that there. From there, guys, I'm going to go into a couple of previews here. So the one I'm going to go into first is with regards to New Japan Pro Wrestling Road to Dominance. I'm going to see if I can pronounce this right. Road to Wrestling Daunt Taku Night 6 Preview. So that takes place tomorrow officially at, where's the timing here, 5:30 in the morning on New Japan Pro Wrestling World. And we've got, how many matches we got taking place? I think five. They got five listed anyways, but you know, the Young Lions usually aren't listed here. But the main event is LIJ. Los Ingobernables to Japan. So Naito and Sanada taking on United Empire, which is the Great Okan, and the newly chosen Aaron Hanare. I want to say I get that name right. Fourth match of the night is also LIJ. So Shingo, Takagi, and Bushi taking on United Empire as well, which is Will Ospreay and Jeff Cobb. That should be a huge match there. Match number three of the night is Tanahashi, Evil, Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, and Yoshihashi taking on Bullet Club, which is Evil, Kenta, Yujiro Takahashi, Taiji Ishimori, and as well as Gato. Second match of the night is Suzuki-gun, which is Zack Sabre Jr., Taichi, and Duki taking on Bullet Club, which is Jado, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, otherwise known as the Gorillas of Destiny. And the match number one of the night, which is always fun because you've got Tomooki Honma, I always just say Honma, Sho and Yo taking on Suzuki-gun, which is El Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, as well as the one and only Minoru Suzuki. So with me and New Japan Pro Wrestling, anytime you have Ishii in a match, it's fun. Minoru Suzuki in a match, it's fun. And as well as Toru Yano in a match, it's fun. So guys, check that out. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Road 2, taking place tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning on New Japan Pro Wrestling World there. Take a breath. Best of WWE, the best of Randy Orton. A Legend Killer taking place tomorrow on the WWE Network. That is 12 p.m. That it's premiere. Normally, they do premieres with regards to Sundays at 8 o'clock. And I was like, wait a second, I know why they're not doing it. So 8 o'clock tomorrow night on A&E, Biography, Stone Cold Steve Austin, April 18th. Like I said, tomorrow, that's going to be interesting. So if you have A&E, it's the two-hour biography special on Stone Cold Steve Austin. One of the clips that they showed was this, that he had one game plan in mind only, is to pick up professional wrestling. There was never a plan B. So it's going to be interesting because A&E is really good at what they do. Followed up by WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, and that takes place tomorrow night as well, 10 p.m. on A&E. That's following, obviously, Biography, which makes me think I'm getting psyched. I haven't said that word in a while, and hyped with regards to Dark Side of the Ring coming up on Crave. So that'll be my May adventures. But guys, check those out. Like I said, the Randy Orton special, as well as Biography with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then WWE's Most Wanted Treasures, hosted by Steph and Trip, Triple H. And then I think Mark Henry is part of that as well. ROH TV preview 500 episode features Battle of the Briscoes. That is coming up. It's all over the place. But here in Canada, you've got Briscoe versus Briscoe. So Jay taking on Mark in the main event. And then you've got Jonathan Gresham taking on Jay Lethal, pure title on the line, April 19th at 7 o'clock p.m. on Fight. And that's always for free. But if you want to watch it on Fight Network, you can on Fight Network. That's 10 o'clock p.m. April 20th. So that's on Fight Network on Tuesday, and then Fight on Monday there. Highlights of the week, guys. I'm not going to do everything, but I'm going to do Dynamite through. So we had a Tyson, Mike Tyson, MJF backstage segment, which was funny. Tyson got offered a check. He ate the check and then spit it out at MJF. And it wasn't a healthy spit. It was kind of just popped out. It still makes me laugh. Young Bucks defeat Pac and Rey Fénix to retain the championships there. A phenomenal match. All four of these guys are gifted. The Young Bucks are still going, that which absolutely amazes me. Hangman and Dark Order backstage segment. Hangman said something like, does anybody want ice cream or anybody want something? And they're like, yeah. So he took off and then left Alex Marvez, not answering a question about Kenny Omega. Jade Cargill defeats Red Velvet. Shivani, Britt Baker, special backstage. I'm loving Britt Baker, the heel character. She's obnoxious and arrogant. And remember when they brought her in, she was supposed to be the baby face of the company. But yeah, she's done well as a heel. Anthony Ogogo defeats Cole Carter, hit him in the basically in the midsection. Referee called for the bell, so they're playing on the boxer gimmick there. Jericho defeats Dax Hardwood, special enforcer. So Iron Mike Tyson got involved, And it's great to see Mike Tyson back. I'm not sure for how long, but he's playing in well, and he's officially with the Inner Circle. Jericho announced video promo. We saw Thunder Rosa saying she wants the championships, both of them NWA as well as AEW. Statlander returned in a match, defeats Amber Nova. Amber Nova was recently on an edition of Straight Talk Wrestling with George Mackay. Guys, go and find it. Check it out. It is on cwnonline.ca. Team Taz was backstage. Taz basically said, Ricky Starks and Brian Cage, you guys are too combustible. You guys stay backstage, because they're trying to get Christian Cage as part of them. Christian Cage comes out, does an interview with Tony Schiavone. Team Taz comes out. Cage shoots them down. Hobbs attacks Cage. And then there was a whole big melee there. And then Darby Allin, the main event, defeats, almost said Jeff Hardy. That would be cool. Matt Hardy, which is still phenomenal, considering the fact the references to Darby Allin, Jeff Hardy. But Allin defeats Matt Hardy to retain the TNT Championship. And I think they listed him and Jungle Boy next week, which will be interesting, because I think Jungle Boy might be one of those guys who can take it from him. Whether or not they do it then, or whether or not they wait for that May 5th special edition. Were they finally doing the Blood and Guts match? I don't know, but I think Jungle Boy is one of the one guys who can probably take it from Allin at this point. And, you know, it's going to be interesting, I'll tell you that. NXT UK, Nathan Frazier defeats Saxon Huxley. Gallus brawled with Primate, T-Bone, and Dennis on Supernova Sessions. Isla Dawn defeats Amelia McKenzie. Jack Starrs defeats Ashton Smith. And then Kenny Williams defeats Amir Jordan. Impact, Josh Alexander defeats TJP. Carl Anderson defeats Crazy Steve. All About Me featuring Tennille Dashwood in the segment that used to Madison Rain used to do in the backstage area there. Where are we here? Jazz had a retirement, and then all of a sudden she got called out by Fire and Flava. So then Jordan Grace and Jazz defeat Fire and Flava in a non-title match. Damore says, hey, you know, if you guys want a chance at the championships at Rebellion, I'll give it to you. And Jazz says, no, she's a lady of her word. So she said, nope, that's okay. But said to Jordan Grace, she goes, I have just the person for you if you want to compete for those titles with somebody else. So another surprise coming up for Impact Wrestling there. I wonder if it's going to be Chantel Taylor, Taylor Wilde. But think about Jazz and think about who she's aligned with. It's going to be interesting to see who they're going to put with Jordan Grace. But Fire and Flavor versus Jordan Grace and mystery partner at Rebellion. Brian Myers defeats Jake something in a Pick Your Poison match. So Pick Your Poison match is basically Matt Cardona picked Brian Myers' opponent. And then followed up by Brian Myers, picking Cardona's opponent. So we had Sami Callihan defeating Cardona. We had a promo between Sami Callihan and Trey. And then main event was the press conference, obviously. So Kenny Omega and Rich Swann, and obviously they came to blows at the end of it. And the humor of it was the looks with regards to Tony Khan's face at times, because he did not look impressed with Don Callis or Kenny Omega, his champion, by the way. SmackDown last night, Reigns Cesaro promo. It's they're looking to build Cesaro to go against Reigns. I'm loving it. It's going to be interesting, but I'll get to the main event. But Cesaro versus Reigns, I think, would be huge. Rey Mysterio defeats Otis. Kevin Owens defeats Sami Zayn by countout, and then it comes back and stuns him anyways. Our Profits have a celebration with Bianca Belair, the new champion. So that was cool to see. From there, we go into Ziggler and Rude defeating the Profits, which sucked for the Profits. So Ziggler and Rude, the Dirty Dogs, the Top Dogs, as Michael Cole kept referring to them, are still champions. And Natalya defeats Shayna Baszler. So Baszler got beat quick. So this is, like I said, that screwed up booking by the WWE. Well, to have the team of Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler beat Tamina as well as Natalya at WrestleMania, but now all of a sudden they're going to build it. So it is what it is. And then from there, guys, Cesaro defeats Jey Uso in the main event by DQ, thanks to Seth Rollins. So when you think about that, Cesaro beats Rollins at WrestleMania, goes on to fight Roman Reigns, and then next thing you know, it's Roman Reigns retaining the championship because he is unbeatable at this point. But then you have Rollins in the mix. So are they setting up? And I could easily see this happening because it's already mid-April. SummerSlam, Seth Rollins taking on Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. I think that's in the works there. 205 Live, Jake Atlas defeating Ashante the Adonis. And then August Gray defeating Tony Nese. New Japan Strong. This is huge because it's going into, obviously, the championship, the Strong Openweight Championship. But opening match, Jordan Clearwater Adrian Quest, Barrett Brown, and Mysterioso defeats the DKC, Kevin Knight, Alex Coughlin, as well as Carl Fredericks. Filthy Tom Lawler advances, defeating Hiko Leo in the New Japan Cup USA 2021 semifinals. And then Brody King advances as well, defeating Leo Rush. So the finals of the Cup for that never open, sorry, not the never open weight championship, but the strong open weight championship. Brody King on one side, Filthy Tom Lawler on the other side. That's going to be huge. I don't think Lawler's going to do it. I think they're going to give it to Brody King. You know, it'll be interesting because that's coming up this coming Friday, but 6 days from now. So yeah, Brody King taking on Filthy Tom Lawler with the strong open weight championship on the line, as well as the New Japan USA 2021 Cup on the line as well. Ratings this week, guys: Raw 2,026,000.68 in the 18 to 49 demo. Strong showing for every single promotion this week, by the way, for the most part. Raw was first for the night. NXT going unopposed on Tuesday, 805, so 805,000. 0.22 in the 18 to 49 demo, eighth for the ninth. Canada, they were outside of the top 10, so they didn't have 106,000 viewers on Sportsnet 360 there. AEW, this surprised me. I had to look twice. 1,219,000. 0.44 in the 18 to 49 demo, second for the night. So that right there is interesting because did fans still tune in on a Wednesday night, expecting NXT for whatever reason to still be on and also not see it and just be like, oh, okay, I guess we're just going to watch AEW. Are they not used to watching wrestling on Tuesday nights, which sucks because that's when Impact Wrestling used to be on? So it'll be interesting to see next week to see if they keep those numbers, to see if NXT has a bigger number this coming Tuesday, and to see if AEW can stay over that million mark. I don't think they're gonna stall out. I think it's either they're gonna go down below a million for AEW because fans are probably curious, what are they gonna do unopposed? Or they're going to even beat this one. And it'll be interesting this coming, like I said, Tuesday as well as Wednesday with regards to the ratings next week. Impact, unfortunately, was down. So 132,000.04 in 18 to 49 demo, which placed them 138th for the night. Still in the top 150, though. And SmackDown, the Fast National, 1,997,000.50 in the 18 to 49 demo. This was their post WrestleMania event, and it looks like to be down for the week. But we won't know officially until Monday when the actual rating comes out. There, previews Raw so far: Strowman versus Orton, Asuka versus Charlotte, and then Drew McIntyre questions MVP on what happened last Monday with regards to T-Bar and Mace. I want to say. That'll be interesting because I'm curious to see what direction they're going with regards to that. And then NXT has announced Dexter Lumis taking on LA Knight as far as the only match that's been listed for NXT. MMA pro boxing news: DC Ahwane, ESPN MMA. Their show took place this past Monday on the 12th. So guys, check that out, cwnonline.ca. One on TNT2 took place. That was on the 14th. That's YouTube, cwnonline.ca as well. And then tonight, guys, if you're looking for action, which is WrestleMania is just so much of a week, so much overload on TV. But the fact is, then you have that slowdown period. And this week's been that slowdown period. No pay-per-views taking place this week. This weekend. But the fact is, when it comes down to it, UFC Fight Night, Whitaker versus Gastelum, taking place tonight for free. Main card at 10 p.m. on TSN5. Prelims at 8 p.m. Tonight on TSN5. Main event is number one, Robert the Reaper Whitaker, taking on number eight, Kevin Gastelum, I want to say. And it's a middleweight belt taking place. I've been getting better on my UFC names because the fact is, AEW on Wednesdays, there's a little pre-show that takes place as far as UFC goes on TSN2 here in Canada. So I'll hear the announcers pronounce their names, and that I get a little bit better that way. Otherwise, I usually have to go to YouTube, watch one of their fights, watch one of their matches, and then figure out how to say it there. But guys, like I said, UFC Fight Night, Whitaker versus Gastelum, taking place tonight, 10 p.m. main card, and then at 8 o'clock tonight for the prelims that are there. So guys, that is it as far as pro wrestling, as well as boxing. Boxing will pick up again. I mean, I added it to the website for a reason, but I'm looking forward to it. Pro wrestling, MMA, as well as pro boxing, that is the news of the week there. Everything I talk about, like I said, cwnonline.ca, 90% of the stuff I talk about here on the show, you can find it on the website. And anyways, I love talking about it because it's CWN Weekly. episode number 35. So it's been an honor to have this 35 weeks with you guys. But show is not done. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to talk about some, obviously, some Canadian independent wrestling, a Canadian Wrestling Network, and much more. So, guys, sit back, relax, watch these promos, and I'll be back momentarily with you guys.
Are you a pro wrestling fan? Do you want the latest info on shows and the stars that appear throughout Ontario? Are you looking for information and insight into the independent wrestling scene? Want interviews and information on the big leagues? Then you want Knights of the Squared Circle with Ryan Knight on Coyote 103. Ryan has his finger on the pulse of wrestling in Ontario on every level, and he brings that to you every Sunday at noon. Listen for your wrestling fix with Ryan Knight and Knights of the Squared Circle, Sunday at noon, only on Coyote 103.
Hey, are you getting tired of the grind? Getting tired of the same old, getting tired of living in an echo chamber? Well, if you are, tune in to the Duke You Suck podcast with Duke Durango. We'll be talking wrestling, sports of all kinds, politics, medicine, whatever else we want to get into. What I'm really looking for is for you to go on a journey with me. Perhaps we find some common ground and hopefully have a laugh along the way. So watch this space for the first episode dropping soon, the Duke You Suck podcast with me, Duke Durango.
So besides the stuff happening on YouTube, there's actually some news with regards to Canadian independent wrestling this week, which I'm excited about there. But guys, hashtag WeRCIW. Website is below CanadianIndependentWrestling.ca. Forge it to the Facebook group. If you listened to the show before, you know how it works. Basically, sign up for the group. Promote. Keep it clean. But if you're a podcaster, you have a website, you're a promoter, you know, your talent, you have merch listed there on CanadianIndependentWrestling.ca. Like I said, forward you to the Facebook group, 450 members strong. Thank you very much to everybody who's been involved. I think it's maybe 451. I think there's one or two pending right now. I think it was last night. I think I looked, but I haven't looked today. But like I said, hashtag WeRCIW is the official hashtag I use with regards to Canadian independent wrestling. So this was huge news here. And I was like, wait a second, is this actually happening? No dates have been listed, though. So it's going to be interesting to see how it takes place. Obviously, with the idiot in charge here in Ontario, nothing to do with wrestling, by the way. I'm talking about the premier. It's a wait and see. But Barry Wrestling announces All Ontario Cup. That took place on the 11th. That came through. I didn't see it on not necessarily Facebook, but YouTube. But it was on Twitter. So it basically said post-lockdown is set, hashtag Ontario, hashtag all eyes on we, and then hashtags Toronto, Durham Region, Barrie, Brampton, Mississauga, Hamilton, London, Hay, Kitchener-Waterloo, Niagara, Ottawa, Caledon, Northern Ontario, Muskoka, Ontario Indies, and then hashtag wrestling. So I am excited to see what's going to take place with this. There is a graphic. There's a graphic on, if you go to cwnonline.ca, and then look for Barrie Wrestling announces All Ontario Cup, or just type in All Ontario Cup in the search. You'll be able to bring it up that way. There is a video that's on Twitter, so I've embedded the actual article from Twitter with regards to the website, so you can check out the video there. I don't know if the music's copyrighted. I don't want another copyright strike, so I'm not playing the video here on the show. But that's huge, and the way it looks, they're going to have, I think, 30 competitors all in the province of Ontario, basically battle it out to see who is the best in Ontario for the All Ontario Cup. And this is amazing because I'm excited about the talent here in Ontario. Barrie Wrestling has been around forever. They have had some of the most recognizable names in the province of Ontario, as well as Canadian independent wrestling. So the fact is, when it comes down to it, fully trust Barrie Wrestling to be able to put this on and excel with it and do well with it. And the fact is, when it comes down to it, when it's going to happen, I don't know. But I am excited, but obviously, as you can see. But yeah, guys, check that out. Like I said, cwnonline.ca, look for the article. Barrie Wrestling announces All Ontario Cup, or like I said, just put in the search term All Ontario Cup and check that out. You can watch the video that they posted on Twitter there. From there, we go into other news. Maritime Wrestling on Twitter. A lot of Twitter news, by the way. This was where most of the stuff was released, but I'll get into all the stuff on YouTube as well. Due to a delay in Atlantic Bubble reopening, Brawl in the Hall will now be tentatively scheduled for Saturday, May the 8th. So I'm going to bring up the article here just quickly. When I say article, tweet, but I call tweets articles. So Anyways, it relates to April 23rd, so Ultimate Championship Wrestling, Spryfield Lions Club, 6:30. April 24th, Ultimate Championship Wrestling, Spryfield Lions Club at 6:30 as well. And then Ultimate Championship Wrestling, Spryfield Lions Club on the April 30th. Oh, wait, that was the wrong article. My apologies, guys. Hold on a second. I was like, why doesn't this make sense? And it's the bottom one. That what I was just mentioning was is relevant. It's just not relevant to what I just talked about. So anyways, the article, due to delay in the Atlantic Bubble League reopening, Brawl in the Hall will now be tentatively scheduled for Saturday, May the 8th. If the reopening is further delayed, all tickets will be honored for our next scheduled show, which will be in June. So stay tuned for further updates. This is courtesy of East Coast Pro Wrestling. Maritime Wrestling did the tweet, but they, like I said, May 1st, the show is not happening. Its new date is May the 8th. So if you're down there in the Maritimes, stay safe. I'm a Maritimer, obviously, but we're being affected all over the place. So the Maritimes as well as here in Ontario. Next is Ultimate Championship Wrestling. So UCW, this was on Twitter. So I'm going to bring up the two articles here. So it's interesting to see as well with regards to ECPW, so East Coast Pro Wrestling, with regards to Lincoln Steen. There's one guy I've heard about for the longest time. You've heard me talk about Duke Durango and how long I've known his name for. Guys like Scotty Mack, Cody Deaner, those guys. But Lincoln Steen's another one of those guys. So it says, we are just over a week away for the return of UCW in Spryfield. Those are the dates. So April 23rd, 24th, and the 30th, Spryfield Lions Club taking place. UCWtickets@gmail.com or 902-233-3663, facebook.com/UCWVIP. And what I was just reading there is from Twitter. And then they followed up with this. So I'm just going to bring up the second tier. This is important as well. So due to border restrictions, a few fans from New Brunswick, my home province, by the way, are unable to attend the shows. So that has opened up a few tickets. So they posted this April 16th, yesterday morning at 10 a.m. So the numbers have probably changed, but April 23rd, their show there, 16 tickets remain. April 24th, 18 tickets remain. It's the debut of Moon Miss, who I'm curious about because I know New Scott's been hyped and psyched. This is the second time I've said that. But Moon Miss is debuting on the 24th. Excuse me. And then April 30th, 10 tickets remain. So again, 902-233-3663. Check them out on twitter.com/ProUCW or it's UCWVIP on Facebook there. So guys, if you're looking for independent wrestling action down there in the Maritimes, definitely check it out. I'm kind of a little bit jealous there. But again, it's a lot of patience going on up here, especially after that idiot was talking on the news yesterday, who calls himself a premier. But YouTube for the week, Barry Wrestling's Mania Week Show 2021. That came out on the 10th. The Duke You Suck podcast special COVID edition, episode 8. Drop Bear and Panda Jen McLean and Michael Dargy was on the 11th. Isaiah Bronson interview part 3. That's interesting to me because I interviewed George Mackay and I talked about Isaiah Bronson and mentioned with regards to the interview and how it was and the whole new take on it. And then we talked about part 3. And the next thing you know, part 3 gets released. So George released that on the 13th. 365. Pro Wrestling Podcast, episode 99 with Sharif Moreau, 13th as well. Duke, 13th was a busy day. Duke You Suck Podcast, episode 9 with women's wrestling sensation Giselle Shaw, who is killing it, even though we're in the midst of COVID. But she's all over social media. I've never got the honor to see her, but I think she was trained by Lance Storm and has obviously a huge UK following. But like I said, Duke You Suck Podcast, episode 9 with Giselle Shaw. You can find that on YouTube, cwononline.ca, but that was on the 13th as well. 365 Pro Wrestling Podcast, episode 98, released on the 13th. That was Brandon Jacobs, 13th as well, like I said. Travis Williams taking on Andy Bird, ECCW Hidden Gems on the 13th. Scotty Mack taking on Brett Matthews, ECCW Hidden Gems on the 15th. Vidcast 48 featuring Maddie Renkowski. Good job, George, by the way, for changing the the name. I think you had one too many W's in there or something like that. But Maddie Renkowski. And the cool thing is as well, when I'm looking at this, with regards to George's interviews, it's cool because the fact is I've never heard of some of these names. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'll post it on cwononline.ca, but I'll have to go on Twitter and Instagram to find out who they are, what hashtags they use, everything else. And when I'm on there, I'm like, holy crap, they've accomplished a lot. Amber Nova, for example, was just on his podcast, and she fought Chris Statlander this past Wednesday on AEW Dynamite. You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool that way. But like I said, this week, Maddie Rinkowski, that was on the 15th, released for VidCast 48. Episode 86, Carter Mason, the first inductee with regards to Canadian Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, the Sharpshooter Award, and Justin Sane was last week's guest with regards to Slugging with Stephen O'Neill, the Night Train, Justin Sane, taking on Tyler Trevor and Tyson Dukes, London Boys, as far as I know. And then you got Ben Haman taking on Joe Pimentel. I've got to learn to slow down. That's the East Coast in me right there. And apparently I talk quicker. So if you take me, you put me down home for a week. When I say down home, I'm talking St. John, New Brunswick. I even talk quicker when I'm around the Maritimers. So this is, it's challenging sometimes because I get excited or I'm talking about something I'd love. And it's like, you know, I can barely understand what I'm saying. It's not short story. It's not as bad as, the Newfoundlanders I met when I was in basic training right out of high school. And when they were talking with regards to the floor that I was on, it was hard to understand them. And I was a Maritimer trying to listen to other Maritimers. Then when you got them drinking, it was even worse. A little bit of a short story, but Maritimers do talk quick. But people from Newfoundland talk even quicker, especially when they get drinking. I'll leave it at that. Super Kicked Unlisted episode number 26 was released yesterday. Into the Layer episode number 22 by Monster Pro Wrestling released yesterday. NSW Overload season 3 episode 3 released yesterday as well. Michael Richard Blyce taking on Chris Parrish. Part of RCW. So Real Canadian Wrestling 2019 took place officially today on YouTube, premiered by Backbreaker Media. Shout out to Mike Maloney there. No relation, and his last name spelled differently. And DIY Decor and Update, It's a Wonder, episode number 16 was released by the one and only Dark Angel, Sarah Stock, right before I went on the show there. So guys, check that out. But I mean, shows aren't taking place here in Ontario, but that's why I talk about all the YouTube content that's out there to keep people entertained, to kind of keep people close to independent wrestling here in Canada. Hence, like I said, CanadianIndependentWrestling.ca. Go be part of the group. Feel the group and promote yourself and, keep in touch with everybody in Canadian Independent Wrestling that way. Slugging with Stephen O'Neill was released this past Tuesday, 6 o'clock p.m. As always, this week's guest was the Wavemaker, Kyle Boone. Boone's one of those guys who I think has got a huge future, huge personality as well. True story about this guy. I had him on a show as a guest, and I use right now is called StreamYard. So basically, anybody I have on the show, I just basically send a link. They can hook up however way they want to. So when I say that, they can go on their laptop, they can go on their phone, they can go on their tablet, just have a good connection. So I send Kyle Boone the link, and I tell him what time I want him to be there, and I'm touching base with him during the day. And next thing you know, I think the interview is supposed to go about 8:30. So 8:30 rolls around, no Kyle Boone. And usually I'm like, okay, just show up like 5 minutes beforehand, whatever the case may be. But like I say, 8:30, no Kyle Boone. 8:40, no Kyle Boone. 8:45, no Kyle Boone. I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm hosting the show, so I can't be necessarily, texting or typing or anything like that. And the next thing you know, he pops up in the queue. And then he comes on the air and he goes, oh, he realized, I think he was on his phone, but he realized that he joined it, but then there was another spot where you put in your official name that you want to be known as for this, on the show, and then you hit the join, and he didn't do that. He just kind of waited in the wing for a good solid 20 minutes, but yeah, that's my Kyle Boone story for you. But like I said, Slugging with Stephen O'Neill, Kyle Boone, this past Tuesday, released on cwonline.ca. But like I said, he's a very nice guy, huge future for him, and a very nice personality as well. And shout out to Shiloh Polly as well. I know they're in love, and I can't wait to see them both on the independent scene once again. CanadianIndependentWrestling.ca, like I said, is the best way to get in touch with me with regards to anything that has to do with Canadian Independent Wrestling. We may have a website someday. I don't know, but right now I forward you to the Facebook group, which is good enough for me. But plans in the works with regards to wrestling, especially here in Ontario, when this stupid pandemic COVID-19 crap is over with. Obviously, Ford's announcement wasn't, I told you it didn't make me happy yesterday, but it is what it is. Guys, from there, something that does make me happy is this Canadian Wrestling Network. So CanadianWrestlingNetwork.ca. Social media, simply type in the words Canadian Wrestling Network. You can type that in on Google. It shows up number one, which obviously what was my goal. But email is network@cwnonline.ca. And then the official phrase that goes with it is One Nation, One Network, Canuck Proud. And I am proud, very proud of the network itself. Proud of the members that we have, proud of the content that is being produced by the members. But like I said, check that out, CanadianWrestlingNetwork.ca. Be part of the network. It is free. So if you are a podcaster, if you're talent here in Canada, if you're a promotion here in Canada, if you have a website here in Canada, I shouldn't say website here in Canada, but if you have a website, I talked about if you have a podcast, if with regards to you have an interview series like Slugging with Stephen O'Neill, let me know. network@cwnonline.ca or chris@cwnonline.ca. It is not hard to get in touch with me. I'm looking to grow the network. It's getting good traction with regards to social media. So on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook now as well. And the website, I want to be the focal point for the network. So that's where you'll see most of the content. I am playing around with different themes. So you might see a change as far as how the network website looks. It'll be all the same content, but there's a lot of stuff I want to add to it. Somebody gave me props just recently, and I said it's going to get better post WrestleMania because I'm going to have a lot more time, with regards to it. So all of a sudden, you had WrestleMania week followed up by March break, and next week it's yesterday, for example, I was playing around with the website templates and this and that, and you're probably going to see a new look and feel to it, but there's additions I want to add to it as well. So CanadianWrestlingNetwork.ca, guys, like I said, and hit up the email network@cwnonline.ca as well as chris@cwnonline.ca. Let me know you want to be part of it, and we will talk and we will get you added to the network there. So like I said, CWN Weekly episode number 35 has been today, and it's Saturday, which is it's a good feel every now and then. Usually I go Fridays at 3, but with everything going on, March break and everything else, and that stupid press conference yesterday, I wanted to watch it. So I was like, we'll shift it to Saturday, and that's what I did. But it kind of worked out with all the Roddy Piper Hot Rod stuff behind me there. Like I said, huge fan of him. But episode number 36, scheduled right now, April 23rd, so Friday, 3 p.m., live on Facebook, Twitch, as well as YouTube. CWN predicts the next one's going to be Impact Wrestling Rebellion 2021. Will premiere on Sunday, April 25th, so next Sunday, 3 p.m. This premieres on Facebook as well as YouTube. And then CWN Recap Impact Wrestling Rebellion 2021 will... excuse me, catching my breath. We'll take Monday, April 26th, time to be determined, but usually about 2, 3, or 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And then the premiere will happen on Facebook as well as YouTube with regards to Impact Wrestling Rebellion 2021, the CWN recap. It's I've given up on trying to do the recaps right after the show. Age has kicked in, whatever the case may be, but the fact is it's easier for me to do the very next day, and I do them as a premiere, so it's I can see Rebellion going close to midnight, especially with some of the matches they've announced. Main event, I don't think they're gonna put a time limit on it. Obviously Omega versus Rich Swann, we'll get more into that next week on weekly as well as the prediction show. But it looks to be a huge show, and I'm looking forward to it there. Guys, check out CWN Weekly on social media. Just type in CWN Weekly, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that jazz. And, give us a follow, give us a like as far as the show itself goes. CWN Interview, obviously, if you've watched, you saw the one I did with George Mackay. There's another one scheduled for April 26th. Which is in the books right now. They'll never be live unless it's kind of like a one-time only thing. But my next one's scheduled April 26th, so you'll probably see it released the 27th or the 28th, as long as I'm good to go on the 26th. And some big news for me, and this is interesting because I didn't even know it was an option, but I'm becoming an ambassador, and nothing major as far as political in Canada goes, but I'm becoming an ambassador for a brand. I've been talking with this company for the past couple of days with regards to becoming an ambassador for them. And, you know, it's a merch company, by the way, with regards to wrestling. And it's exciting because I've always been appreciative of their logo, of their brand. You know, basically, I saw something with regards to becoming an ambassador. And then we've been going back and forth the past couple of days. So it's not official yet. When it's official, I'll be able to release it. You'll hear me talk about it because I talk about everything. But yeah, I am becoming an ambassador for a merch company with regards to wrestling. And I'll have a promo code to be able to give everybody with regards to having, you know, percentages off merchandise. And like I said, I've always been a fan of this logo, a huge fan of the company as well. And so look for that in the next couple of weeks. But I'm excited to be becoming an ambassador for this brand there. So that is it for CWN Weekly episode number 35. Guys, it's been great. As always, check out the email address, feedback@cwnonline.ca. Let me know what you think of the show, the host, the website, the network, Canadian independent wrestling as a whole. If you want to get in touch with me personally, chris@cwnonline.ca. That's my personal email address for the website itself, as well as anything that you just want to talk about with regards to CWN. From there, social media, as always, at Chris Maloney CWN. Takes you all my social media links, so just search Chris Maloney CWN. I don't know why I pronounce my name like that. It's been a long one again, but guys, enjoy your Saturday as much as you can, especially if you're in the province here in Ontario. You know, my wife was kind of bummed out yesterday. I was kind of bummed out, but I was like, you know what? We make the most of it. We get through it. And, you know, and it's not forever. So guys, with that being said, thank you very much for watching and listening. Enjoy your families. You know, if you can't be close to them right now, at least let them know that you love them and be in touch with them. But it's been great talking with you guys again. Like I said, CWN Weekly episode number 36 next Friday, 3 p.m. Look for that. And as always, thank you very much for watching and listening. And we will talk again sometime soon.